Widow, Third Order. Our Divine Lord says, by their fruits you shall know them. Matthew 7:16. And in these words he bestows great praise on Queen Blanche, for St. Louis IX of France was her son, and his holiness was in great measure the result of her maternal rearing. Blanche, the daughter of the King of Castile, Spain, lived in happy wedlock with Louis VIII, King of France, for 26 years. She enjoyed the confidence of her husband so perfectly that when he died, he entrusted her with the guardianship of their 12-year-old son, Louis, and until his maturity, with the government of the country. There were among the great ones in the land such who were envious of the widow and foreigner, and would have liked to take over the government. But Blanche administered the high and burdensome office with such impartial justice and great wisdom that the envious were silenced, and her executive ability was highly commended by all. As a mother, she evinced genuine Christian sentiments. It is in the love for her children that a Christian mother must generally stand the test. Will she allow them to do things that are displeasing to God? Will she love them more than God? He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:37. Blanche proved that she was a true Christian mother, for she often said to her son, "Rather would I see you dead at my feet than stained with a mortal sin." She was not satisfied, however, with helping her son to avoid mortal sin. She was anxious also to preserve him from venial sin. Mother and son, therefore, had themselves enrolled in the Third Order of St. Francis. In living up to the rule, she encouraged him to practice every virtue and to strive after Christian perfection. The saintly son had such confidence in his mother that, having personally governed the country for several years, he again placed her in charge while he went to the Holy Land with his army. He did not return until he received the news of her death in 1253. Blanche died surrounded by devout sisters of the Cistercian order, whose convent at Maubisson she had built. Clothed in the habit of the Third Order, she was buried in their church. On venial sin. Next to mortal sin, venial sin is the greatest evil in the world. Though it is not a separation from God, it is at least an offense against God. Though it does not rob the soul entirely of the grace of God, it lessens the divine good pleasure and causes God's special favors to be withdrawn. Though it will not cast us into hell, it will condemn the soul stained with it to the painful tortures of purgatory. We should, therefore, for no consideration on earth, ever willfully commit a venial sin. Blanche recognized how carefully we ought to shun venial sin, and she impressed this fact so deeply on the mind of her son, St. Louis, that at the end of his life, he declared himself far happier to have endured without murmuring all the sufferings and afflictions that befell him during his crusades than if all the kingdoms of the world had been made subject to his scepter. Have you taken venial sin so seriously during your past life? Consider that venial sin easily leads to mortal sin if we think lightly of it. He who contemns small things shall fall by little and little. Ecclesiasticus 19:1. Just as a storm will cause a house to collapse if it has sprung its joints, so will the storm of temptation cause a soul to collapse if it has been weakened by venial sin. If you are aware of such weakness in yourself, if you notice that the temptation to impatience, enmity, and impurity is sometimes very hard to overcome, then examine yourself to determine whether your soul has not perhaps been weakened by venial sins. Be careful to avoid them in the future. He who is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is greater. Luke 16:10. Consider that without a special grace of God, as was granted to the Blessed Virgin, it is impossible for us while on earth to avoid every venial sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:8. Human weakness and carelessness lead us daily into many a sin. That is why we pray, "Forgive us our trespasses," and why we should also say with the prophet, "From my secret sins cleanse me, O Lord." Psalm 18:13. But sins that are fully recognized as such beforehand, and of which our conscience makes us aware, be they ever so small, must not be committed by a Christian who loves his soul. Heed the warning of Tobias. All the days of your life have God in your mind, and take heed you never consent to sin. Tobias 4:6. Prayer of the Church. Grant unto us, eternal Savior, that as we, by thy grace, receive forgiveness of our sins, so we may henceforth avoid all sin, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.